So let's try that on the right frequency at least. All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. All right, that's a good answer. Thank you, everyone. That's always fun. All right, good evening, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is a net that's connected weekly at a frequency of 146.835 megahertz, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. Our net is a conversation, not a normal net. It's a conversation about amateur radio, about technology, about computers, about electronics, about natural sciences that underlie our hobby, and of course it's about our experiences, what we've done with our hobby, what we aspire to do with our hobby, and of course things we never want to do again, because after all they're pretty entertaining, if not instructive, otherwise known as a teachable moment sometimes. And of course you can also post for sale, help, or wanted items. You're welcome to do so, and that would be great as well. Alrighty, we check in on this net with our name, I mean our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. And we ask for none of the above because it helps us gauge how to structure the net. So it is kind of important to check in, even if you don't think you have anything to contribute. Another thing is we check in one station at a time. I cannot type 42 call signs in a run. Just not going to do that. So I do need you to check in one at a time, get acknowledged, and then we'll go on to the next guy or gal. So that would be helpful if you would just help me along with that. And then finally, we have some additional resources, and those resources are things like a Yahoo group. The Yahoo group is called ComTech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Uniform Papa, Oscar Uniform Papa, I hope I got that right. Anyway, it's very important to participate in that as well, because that way the conversation can continue, and documents and web links and all sorts of other resources can be exchanged that way during the week to support our net and support your continued interest in whatever topic is discussed. So, no further ado, are there any stations whose call signs begin with November? Please call K2BAR. Okay, how about stations with the call signs beginning with Alpha?
AC2GI, Rich, none of the above, Gordon.
Good evening, Richard. Any other Alphas? Okay, how about Kilos?
K2BAR. K2TRW, good evening, Gordon. I have none of the above. I'll be walking around the shack doing errands, so I'll be in and out. Back to that.
Roger, roger. Thank you very much. Mr. Kai, if you're going to be at the meeting tomorrow night and you happen to have a spare radio programming cable you would like to sell, I would be very interested in acquiring it. Just pointing that out. let's see, what else did I want to mention? All right. If you have the other cable too, that's wonderful, but I've given up finding my memory programming cable. All right. Let's see. Any other kilos? Alrighty. How about whiskeys?
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMP in Pearl River, New York. And I do have a quick question.
No problem. Gotcha, Jim, WA2UMP. Got you noted with a question. And any other stations with whiskey?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, with just a quick comment.
Gotcha, Bob. No problem. W2ISC, thank you. Any other whiskeys?
W2SC, no traffic.
Good evening, Bruce. Got you squared away. Was the station double with Bruce? Okay, any other whiskeys? Okay, anybody, any call sign? Alrighty, well, let's go right to Jim's question. WA2UMP, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2UMP. Okay, Gordon. Question, just a status question. You had mentioned that this repeater would be linked up to EchoLink. And I wonder what the status of that is. After that, I also have a part two of that question, totally unrelated. Back to net control.
It is a good question, and the interface software that allegedly came with the computer and the radio cables and all that other stuff seems to be goofy, and I haven't had a chance to put Humpty Dumpty back together again from scratch, so that's something I'm going to have to take some time to do, and I have not gotten to it yet, but to your point, the hardware has been acquired. We have a radio from the remote. We have the interface and the CPU, and it's just a matter of getting the right software in it and getting it configured, and I just haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Okay, very good. All right, I guess we'll see it then pretty soon. Second question I have, and totally unrelated to the first question, my birthday is coming up in the not-too-distant future, and the question came up what to get. And I'm looking at getting an M-squared 11-element Yagi for $440. And I would set this up in Sussex County at my girlfriend's house. Her house is kind of nestled in the hills and kind of far away from local repeaters. To hit a DMR repeater, you would have to go from Sussex County down to Route 80 area, maybe Roxbury. So the repeaters are not as close together as they are here. So I'm looking at something good, like an 11-element Yagi. N squared looked pretty good. I'm not sure if that's overkill, 11 elements at 60 inches long. It's a fairly good-sized antenna. I may not know if it's overkill until I get it. But I was wondering what your experience, or if anyone would like to comment on a 440 antenna that length. Is it difficult to point? Is it difficult to mechanically set up? I would be setting it up. I have a TV rotor, a channel master, and would use it with that. Hopefully that antenna won't be too heavy for it. Anyway, before I time out, back to net control.
That's a really good question. The answer is no, it's not too much gain. You are going to need to put it on a non-conductive mast if you're vertical. So do think about that. Give that some thought. You'll need a fiberglass mast of some sort. Do not use PVC. Well, if you do use PVC, jam a wooden dowel hard into the PVC to make sure it doesn't flex, and then seal the ends. But generally speaking, yeah, you'll be fine. Are you going to put a 2-meter Yagi in parallel with it?
Negative on that. I do have the Elk Log periodic, and I may set that up there or not. And so that's 2-meter 440. So I would not, I don't want to put up a Leaning Tower of Pisa and have this thing fall down. On one side of the house, I put up 440. Maybe on the other side, I put up my Elk Log periodic. And that would be it. I don't want to go overboard with the antennas. Now, fiberglass mast, I noticed that this is an antenna that is mounted on the end, you know what I mean, not in the center, and I do see that other antennas are mounted in the center, and I would see why you would need a fiberglass pole for that, but if it's mounted on the end, do you, a metal, you still think a metal antenna would, a metal pipe, piece of pipe would detune the antenna? Go ahead.
Okay, we are talking about a 5 foot 440 Yagi. It's not real heavy, but if you're putting on a little dinky, you know, TV rotator, you know, trying to have the slot, the, you know, that goes through as opposed to, you know, mounting coaxially on top, you already have an offset load. So I would strongly recommend, you know, or even if you don't have the slot, if you have the you know, they have those TV antenna rotators, they're not collinear. The mast, the center of support and the center of the mast above are not collinear to each other. So I don't want to keep that close to balance as possible. So even if it was slightly longer, I would want a center-mounted antenna with a non-conductive mast, just so that it's less of a, you know, a stress on the rotator and the whole system, frankly. You know, there's a lot to be said for something in balance.
Interesting point, and maybe the M-squared, since it's an end-mounted antenna, is not the right one. They do sell other antennas that have 11 elements, and they're mounted in the center, and there I would thoroughly understand why you would need a fiberglass pole of sorts. Do you think that would be mechanically easier to set up and keep from falling down? Go ahead.
Yes.
All right. Well, they do make some antennas, and they're even a little less expensive. So maybe I will look at that. They seem to, they don't have a wide selection in the number of elements. They seem to come, you can get them in 4, 5, and 6, and then it kind of jumps to 11 and up to 15. That seems to be it. So 11 would be kind of a standard size. So maybe I'll look at a center fed, a center mounted, rather. Back to net control.
Comment.
Comment, go.
And W2SC. Get two of the six elements, put them side by side and phase them, and then you can use all metal masting.
Yeah, you just need a gusset plate for the crossbar shirt.
Yeah, I don't want to go overboard by putting up two antennas. I'm already, you know, it's not even my house. I'm, you know, trying to maintain, don't want to take over things, you know, so two antennas is a harder sell than one. So I would be inclined to go with just a single antenna rather than two phased antennas.
Yeah, point taken. So what you may want to do is, if anything, go to the 15 element, center mount it, and be done with it.
Yeah, well, I don't want this thing to be too hard to point. The 11 element is a 34-degree radius, which is pretty narrow. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be too hard to point. So I was kind of thinking the 11 element was kind of pushing the envelope of sharpness already.
Not really. At 440 from where you are, you're going to need every bit of gain you can get, and you need every bit of rejection you can on signals off to the side, in case you have, you know, some, you know, stuff out of phase, that's what I was looking for. So you just want a nice tight beam width and be done with it, and your rotator's resolution won't be that won't be that picky. So don't panic. I would just go for something mechanically stable with the most gain within the size, within the mechanical size limits that you can deal with. By the way, to Bruce's point, I love phased arrays. I absolutely, but they are more complicated, not just mechanically, but electrically, because you have, you know, two feed lines that you got to manage, you know, into a harness of some sort, and that can be tricky. But very delightful. And to answer your earlier question, on the end mount ones, I have, especially at the higher frequencies, had variable results with metal mass behind the reflector, and there definitely is some pattern and distortion with that, so do keep that in mind. I mean, it's not severe at the lower frequencies, but as you get up in frequency, it can be more noticeable to a point where then it doesn't become noticeable anymore. So it's all good. Anyway, I would go for the 15 center mounted, use an insulator. You know, I mean, if you get a 5 or a 6 foot fiberglass mast that fits in your rotator on top, you'll do fine. And you Texas Towers, HRO, any of these people sell it. And, you know, if you order a 5 foot mast, they can UPS it to you. If it comes from an HRO in Newcastle, UPS Ground will be there in a day.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Did I time it out, or did I just miss it?
You timed it out there. One last question. The Yagi seems like the simpler of the two antennas, but for the same amount of money, I could get a 10-element quad, okay, by Cubex. And that certainly looks more mechanically complicated and a little bit more difficult to keep up in the air in a heavy windstorm. But is it worth the extra mechanical complexity to get a small quad with 10 elements versus the Yagi? Go ahead.
My personal experience with FM, no. If it was single sideband, CW, or other weak signal stuff, I'd say maybe, because I like the lower noise characteristics of a cubicle quad, especially the fact that the driven elements are closed loop. But, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, what I don't like, by the way, are gamma match fed quads. That to me is absurd. So I don't know if there's a gamma match fed quad, but if it is, you just ignore it. It's just a waste of time.
Okay, all right. That doesn't something to look into, but it doesn't sound like it's an overwhelming must have given the added complexity. Mechanical complexity. All right, well, thank you for the feedback.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, W2SC. Quads and ice storms can be rather incompatible.
Yeah, but these aren't HF quads. They're 440 quads, but still, the answer is no. I would encourage people to, if you ever want to have a quad at VHF or UHF, I would encourage you to make a study of Wayne Overbeck, either N6NB or his old call, N6YNB. He made a study of the Quaggy, and I found that to be a very useful antenna, very strongly advised, and a good compromise between Yagis and Quads. It's got a full-wave reflector, a full-wave driven, and then Yagi elements. It's a marvelous antenna, but for this, it just doesn't make sense. It's not a weak signal type operation. So I would just leave it be. Keep it simple. Get her done. And, fiberglass mast, 5 foot fiberglass mast on top of the rotator, holding that 15 element Yagi up in the middle, fed with some something flexible. I'm partial to 9914, because it's got a stranded center conductor. It's like 9913 with a stranded center conductor, but there are other alternatives as well. So Your mileage may vary. Go for it.
Okay, very good. 9913. I haven't heard of that coax. I was thinking I usually use LM240. I was going to, you know, graduate to LM400 for that, but I'll look into what 9914 it is. And incidentally, there are no commercial quaggies available as far as I can see. I did do a Google search, and interesting concept. I think you'd have to build your own. There are no commercial quaggies available as far as I can see.
Yeah, no, I agree. One of the things you can do to make a quaggy is get a piece of rigid sheet or something and put your elements through it, and then attach a crossbar to that boom, that non-conductive boom, that vertically, and then use that to hold the top and the bottom of the loop together, and that works out real well. I've seen the whole thing done with Lucite and other variants of non-IR susceptible materials. It works out very, very well. Let's see, what else I was mentioning. Oh, 9914 is essentially 9913 with a stranded center conductor instead of rigid, and they're are variants of LMR 400 that have flexible center conductors, and that would also be very good. Actually, that'd be an excellent choice. They usually are about 1/10 or 2/10 of a dB more attenuation per 100 at, let's say, 2 meters, and maybe another half a dB, not even half a dB, maybe 3/10 of a dB total. At 450, if I recall, versus the solid conductor LMR 400. So, you know, the stuff is pretty, you know, there are variants of LMR 400 with stranded center conductors, and that's my point. That would be good. If you're going to be using less than 30 feet of it, you might consider your 240, but I'm not a big fan of that stuff. It's just too darn small. It's like RG58 with Teflon, or not even Teflon. It's just, nah, I'm not a big fan. You want to keep your attenuation down, especially at 400 megs.
Okay, very good. And I see that the some of the center-mounted antennas, Cushcraft is one of them, and that doesn't have the reputation of being more as mechanically solid as an M squared, but it is mounted in the center. Anyway, I'll read the reviews and see what I can come up with. K2BAR, this is WA2UMP.
Further comment.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, the LMR 400 you're thinking of is Times Ultraflex. It's more flexible. The other option is to use the solid center conductor up to about the base of the rotor. Use a couple end connectors and a splice, and then go to a more flexible type of cable around the rotor, five, 6 foot loop kind of thing up to the antenna.
Yeah, but again, that introduces another point of failure. Just buy the coax you need, you know, way you go. And you're right, it's called Ultraflex. Thank you. Anyway, anybody else have any thoughts on this? Okay. Let's see. Jim, did you have anything else you want to add or ask?
No, that about does it. I'm going to go back and take a look. I'm inclined to go with the 11 element. The 15 just looks a little long. And harder to point, so I'll probably get the 11, and I'm going to look for a center-mounted antenna, and I'll read the reviews and see what I come up with. But anyway, thank you for your thank you for the information.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, well, keep in mind that that I'm not a big fan of real short yagis unless you're just trying to get some basic directivity. You're needing gain. I would not settle for the 11. You know, M squared makes a nice antenna, and at 15 elements, it will be very light. It will be very efficient, and it won't be too pointy. Honest, it really won't. It'll keep the fading issues from being a problem. So I think you're better off with it than the 11. Both mechanically and electrically. There is another company, Directive Systems, but I don't think they make one for the FM portion of the band. I think their antennas are cut from 432, maybe 435, but that would be about it. Anyway. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Before we go to Bob, are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, so that's that. And all right, Bob, over to you, W2ISC, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, W2ISC, High Garden. I suppose, I don't know if you've had a chance to try out my new web pages on the Arden. I got a small router thing that has a built-in USB port that I connected to one of my Arden nodes, and the thing there is that I can use a USB stick to hold the web files. I kind of gave up trying to make my OpenWRT or WWDRT use a USB stick. I've been messing around with that for some time, but seems I must be some piece of knowledge they assume I have that I don't. Over.
Yeah, so I saw that description. So is it sort of like a NUC?
Say again?
So what is the device you bought? It's got an Ethernet port on it, right?
It kind of looks like an open WRT router with two ports and a USB stick on it. GLI Innovations, I think the company is called. Over.
Right, so it's got two Ethernet ports on it?
Yeah, a LAN and a wide area network.
But, okay, so which port do you have tied to the Arden side?
I think it's the WAN. I tried the both ports, and the WAN seems to connect to the Arden network pretty well. I have the LAN connected to my house network, and for some reason that doesn't seem to cause any conflicts, not unlike most routers. Over.
Well, that's interesting. So is your Arden interface available through, can you put in there essentially a gateway so that you could theoretically come in from the internet to a specific port on your router that would lead you to this box, to the GLI box, and then open up a connection into the Arden network?
I don't think it'll let you do that. I haven't tried. The web page is available as an advertised service on one of my Arden nodes, but I don't think that, if I try to connect to it from my house network, it just shows a configuration screen and whatnot. It doesn't say anything about the Arden. You don't see anything about being connected to Arden or anything. Over.
Yeah, there are others who have done that where you connect from one network to the other, usually password protected, like a proxy, et cetera, of some sort, to get access to the other network. Anyway, that's marvelous. Just marvelous. Alrighty. Anybody else with any ideas on this?
Gordon, I don't know if you've had a chance to actually try to connect to this website. I just wanted to get a verification that it does, in fact, work from outside my own QTH. Over.
I'll tell you what, after that, I'll give it a look and try it. I'll do it from my tablet and log into my home art and access point. Go from there. In fact, I'm bringing it up now to see if it'll do that. But in any case, I'm upstairs, so I'm not in front of that network or a computer that's on that network. Or at least right now, I'm not. But that sounds great. I mean, it sounds like a cool idea. If anyone else is on the ART network, they can certainly try it. Anyway, what else we got? Okay. Well, if we don't have anything else, just remind everybody that tomorrow night is the business meeting for Fairlawn. It'll be at 7:30. The doors open at 6, however, for those who want to come and play and talk and do other things. There'll be a little time after the meeting as well for that. The other is that Barrow will have its regular monthly meeting on Sunday at 7:30. The meeting will start, but we gather about 7 o'clock at the Washington Township Borough Hall. And, in the senior room like always. And again, we gather around 7 for the 7:30 meeting. And that would be that. Are there any other stations who want to bring up topics or check in tonight?
ACTTI with a question.
Mr. Rich.
Gordon, you mentioned earlier that you're building an Echolink. I guess you're building an Echolink link. Is that what you're working on? And what does that involve?
So essentially, it's a remote base. It's an Echolink node that lives, at a remote location and accesses the repeater like a user, but its backhaul, instead of being a microphone and a speaker and a person, it's the internet.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Are those the ones that appear on the Echolink software with an L instead of an R?
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
As they say, there are exceptions. So I'm looking at this stuff on the mesh. Which one is it that you want me to try to access? Bob, I'm looking at a lot of WA2IFC stuff here.
Yeah, hi, Gordon. It should be the one that's connected to WA2IFC-9000, and it just says web pages. Over.
Or WA2IFC-900. That says web pages. Okay, hold on. Yep, it's up.
Okay, K2BIR, WA2IC, thanks a lot, and 73s.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. So it's all in one happy place. I mean, you might want to look at your organization, but I like your OpenWRT router as an advertised service. Very, very nice. And do you have anything on this GLI box on here? Is there a web reference to that?
I wasn't sure if it would be appropriate for me to actually have a hot link to that. Like it could be construed as advertising or something, but I suppose if that's not an issue, I could put it in there.
You're just trying to show people how to implement the technology.
Okay, at the bottom of that web page, I think I make a mention that it's using the GOI Innovations box, but I think I don't think I had a link down there.
No, you don't. But you might want to, without giving away the store as to how you configured this particular note, because you don't want any security issues. But you know, you might think about it. It might be something to consider.
Okay. I kind of I was a little disappointed that I couldn't build my own out of a Linksys router, but I was running into some issues. I guess it takes an expert in Linux to really sort out. So, just buying this thing and putting it together was a very quick solution. Over.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I like your 19-inch rack thing too. That's good. You can buy those rails, you know, and as long as you space them 19 inches apart, life is grand.
Okay, that's kind of like that entertainment center my father built many years ago.
Right, yeah, but you can buy the rails. I mean, I've seen people also not like an austere-looking metal cabinet, rip the rails out of an existing cabinet, and then build their own beautiful wooden thingy. So that's really good. Alrighty. I will, I will say that this is definitely working, and good for you. Excellent, excellent. Alrighty, anybody else with questions or comments? Well, then I guess this is where I get to say goodnight. Anyway, everybody, have a good evening, and thank you again for participating in the net. Please promote it to others so we have more participation. It was a lively net nonetheless. So this is KTBAR W2TTT signing clear 73.
NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater news PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater news PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater news PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater news PL151.4.
NC2K on NJ2BS. K2JK or W2TU NZ2K. NZ2K in the mobile.
NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat.